KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Andrew Guy has been reinstated as Trilista Corporation's president and CEO. The corporation announced the move yesterday afternoon after a special meeting of the new board of directors. KYUK's Angela Denning Barnes reports that earlier in the year, the board placed Andrew Guy on administrative leave pending an investigation. The reasons for the investigation remain confidential. However, the newly formed board reviewed the investigative report and found no merit to any allegations or complaints. As a result, they called Guy back to his former position with full authorities and prerogatives. Two new board members were elected at Trilista's annual meeting November 3rd. One of them ousted Felix Hess, a longtime board member who was under fire by shareholders for helping to remove Guy. The sentencing of the former director of the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission is continuing in federal court in Anchorage, with both sides arguing about how much money Maggie Amarok stole. Amarok was director of the commission for 17 years until she was fired in 2007 from the commission, which receives federal funds. She pleaded guilty in May to two counts of theft and misapplication of funds. But exactly how much the 62-year-old woman funneled to herself remains in question. That is the job of U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason, who will hand down the sentence. Residents of Kivalina, whose water supply pipeline was damaged by late summer storms, are monitoring every drop of water they use. But officials there fear there might not be enough in reserves to last through winter. Some partners, including the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, coordinated efforts to make temporary repairs to a 3-mile pipeline that pulls water from the Woolock River. But winter freeze-up arrived when the village had pumped only about half of 1.2 million gallons that could fit into its water tanks. Two members of the all-volunteer Indian Law and Order Commission came to Alaska last week to gather information on recommendations to the President and Congress on ways to make Indian country safer and more just. They say all Alaskans would benefit if the state worked more cooperatively with tribes. Congress enacted the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, in 1978 in response to the high number of Native American children being removed from their homes. KNBA's Jocelyn Estes reports Donnie Flegel is a board member for the National ICWA Association. Flegel says tribes are in a better position than the state to help Native families and to provide other governmental services.
I think that the state can recognize tribal governments and should, and realize how beneficial it is to have tribal governments in these communities. After the state stopped supporting municipalities in a large way a few years back, several years back really, it was the tribal governments that stepped up to maintain roads and to provide social services and health care.
But Governors Frank Murkowski, Sarah Palin, and now Sean Parnell all chose not to recognize tribal status, even though the Alaska Supreme Court has upheld tribal sovereignty in several lawsuits. Troy Ide is the former U.S. Attorney for Colorado, now in private practice and chair of the Indian Law and Order Commission. He's critical of the state's approach to law and order for Alaska Natives.
There is less cooperation among governments, and there is less respect for the concept of tribal sovereignty here than there is in other parts of the United States.
ID says the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971 didn't affect certain tribal rights, and the state hasn't any grounds for disputing tribal jurisdiction.
The idea that the state could somehow not respect that or honor that is absurd. It has to respect and honor that. It's unless Congress were to speak and do something different, that's been the law in the United States since long before Alaska became a state. And nothing changed subsequently in terms of 1971 or any of the subsequent congressional acts. Nothing has changed that.
Commissioner Carol Goldberg, a professor at the University of California Los Angeles Law School, says not only do tribes have the right to exercise broader jurisdiction, all Alaskans would benefit if they did. Goldberg says in addition to child welfare and domestic violence matters, tribes could also exercise jurisdiction over land.
There are lands including native allotments and town sites that are federal lands in Alaska, which count as Indian country under federal law. And as a result of that, the tribes do have legal authority over those lands, whether they own them or not.
Ide and Goldberg noted several other issues affecting justice for Alaska Natives, the need for more support for the homeless, for increased law enforcement in rural Alaska, and for expanded enforcement and programs to prevent substance and alcohol abuse. Goldberg says the lack of local jails and prisons makes the re-entry of offenders into villages more difficult. The Indian Law and Order Commissioners also noted the need for funding and training for tribal courts. And the Nome Belt's Nanook volleyball team is competing at the state tournament this weekend in Wasilla. The first game is this morning at 11:45 against Monroe. The Lady Nanooks are Region 1 champions and are undefeated in the season. It is unofficially 23 degrees at the KNOM studios, and a look at the price of gold this morning, up $7 an ounce to $1,725.30. An ounce of silver is up 31 cents to $32.25, and a pound of zinc at 85 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive in Nome at 9:20 and depart to Anchorage on time at 10:02. It's unofficially, again, 23 degrees at the KNOM studios, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.